Hi, and welcome to another Java podcast. This one's on variable scope. This is actually the third time, or fourth time actually, that I've tried to do this. It's actually quite difficult to explain scope, especially through a podcast. So I'll do my best, I guess. So if this doesn't make too much sense, then read the website, have a play with Java, and hopefully it will make some sense. On the principle of it, scoping is actually quite straightforward. It's just a little bit odd, if I'm honest. The definition of scope is essentially the lifetime of a variable. So it's basically when you create a variable, when that variable will be destroyed, i.e. no longer being able to use it. Rule of thumb in Java is the scope of a variable is the lifetime of the code block it was defined in. So it will get destroyed once the code block ends. So if you define it in a method, for example, it will be destroyed at the end of the method. If you define it inside a for loop, it'll be destroyed at the end of the for loop. So that's the kind of rule of thumb, and it kind of holds okay. Just there's a few little caveats which I will hopefully try and explain to you. The reason why you have to worry about scope is because when you define a variable, you need to obviously be able to use it. So if you define a variable in one method, that will not be available in any other methods. However, if you define it outside the method as an object object variable, then it will be available. So obviously scope has a major impact on your code. If you need to store something that is used by more than one method, then you'd have to store it as an object variable. If you don't, then you don't bother. A lot of people will define things as object variables just because they can't be bothered typing it in twice. Do not do this. It must be a design decision to actually make an object variable, not a method variable or a local variable. If you've got no reason to make it a object variable, then don't. Okay, it's only ever used if that variable needs to be accessed by more than one method. So, the lifetime of a variable is the code block it was defined in. Now, if you define a variable inside a code block, then any code blocks that are nested within that code block, it will also be available for. For example, if I define it in a method, then any for loops or if statements inside that method will also have access to that variable. However, conversely, if I define a variable inside a for loop, for example, then it will not be available to its parent code block. Okay, so variables are available to child code blocks, but not to parent code blocks. Object variables are different to local variables in the fact that they are defined outside methods. You can think of them kind of like global variables if you wish to, and they're accessible to all methods within that class. To be able to set values to it and stuff like that, you need to be able to instantiate the class, so you need to create an object of it. Thus the reason why we call it an object variable. So you need to instantiate the class, create an object of it, and then you can set it to wherever you want it to be. Static variables are known as class variables, and only one instance of a static variable will ever exist for a class. So if I define a static variable, which kind of looks very similar to an object variable, just it has the word static in front of it, you will only ever get one instance of it. So if I set that value up, then that value will be shared across every possible instance of that class. You can use a static variable to keep count of how many objects you create, for example, of a single class. So static variables can have a lot of uses. Another rule of thumb for static is if you don't need to share this information across all classes, across all instances of that class, then don't use static. Okay? Static should really only be a last resort. You really need to know what you're doing with static before you can use it, really. We've seen static before, because static can be applied to methods as well as variables, and a static method is accessible without having to create an instance of the class. And the famous one that we've seen so far is public static void main, okay, the main method. And the reason why that's static is so we don't have to actually create an instance of the class in order to run the main method. Okay. You can also have modifiers on your variables, but this only applies to object variables and also to class variables. You can't put access modifiers in local variables inside a method. So the three possibilities for modifiers are public, private, and default. Public means that anybody can access it. Private means no one can access it apart from that class. And finally, default means that it's public to all classes within the same package, otherwise it's private. You can also shadow variables. Now this is where things get a little complicated. Now part of me thought I should really not talk about variable shadowing, but I think I'll just briefly mention it. If what I say now starts to go over your head, don't worry too much about it. Rule of thumb is make variable names different. If you decide to use the same variable names for an object and a locally scoped variable, then what will happen is the locally scoped variable will take precedence. So if I called a object variable var and have a local variable called var, then my local variable var will take precedence over my object variable var. Okay, and this is known as shadowing. If I want to access the object version, I need to put the word this in front of it. So it would be this.var equals var. And what that would do is set the object variable to equal the exact same value, or to be assigned the value of my local var. Okay, a little bit complicated, but yeah, that's how it works. Also, you can have classes the same name as long as they're in different packages. I think I've already mentioned that before. If you are going to do that, then you must ensure you use a fully qualified name to the class if you can use two classes with the same name inside the same bit of code. A fully qualified name is pretty straightforward. You just have the package name and followed by the class name separated by full stops. This is very rare when you have to do this, but you might see examples on the internet, and the one that you probably will come across is dates. So javautil.date is a desktop date, and javasql.date is actually a database date. And sometimes you have to convert between the two, so thus you have to use fully qualified class names. So for summary, I'll try and summarise this really quickly, otherwise you'll just get lost. So things you really need to know about variables scope is that a variable is only available in a code block it was defined in. Child code blocks will have access to the variable, but parent code blocks will not. Object variables must be instantiated and available to all methods. Class variables only have one instance of them created, and they're available to all objects. And finally, static is the word for creating class variable, and you can also have modifiers such as public, private, and default, where private is available to no one apart from that class, public is available to everybody, and default is available to only classes of the same package. Hopefully I didn't confuse you too much. Read the website to get more information, and hopefully it will start to sink in. Well, this is me off for a bit, because the next part of the course is object-oriented programming and the design principles behind it. So things get a little bit more designy, a little less technical, but there are some Java elements which you need to be aware of. But we've actually covered most of the Java already. So hopefully you've already become Java experts, and you don't need to look at my website anymore. Wahey. Okay, well, see you next time.